Apes and Scouts, a podcast where two friends review every single movie they watch.
Well, hello there.
Hi, the dog is staring at you.
The dog is staring at me. What's up, Knife Puppy?
Now she's coming over to you.
Hello.
She's trying to let you know that she's been starving to death.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so.
No, you would not.
I mean, we've really been able to stick a lot more knives on this dog since she's gained all this weight.
Oh, yeah, no, she is basically like a battle blimp.
Very, very good. Yes, she is like that. 100%.
Yeah, that is her. Yeah, from knife puppy to battle blimp.
She's kind of like an obstacle you'd see in Rollerball.
I think so, yeah. Or like the big opera singing guy from The Running Man.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Who I forget the name of. They all had like very like ridiculously cliche names. Thunder, like Fireball.
Thunderbolt?
That could very well be. Dynamo.
Yes, yeah. It's Dynamo.
Yep.
You are correct.
Yeah.
You is correct. Well, The Running Man's great, but we're not talking about that this time.
No, we watched The Running Man already.
We did. Go back and listen to that if you like. I don't know what episode it is, but go back.
You can hunt for it. Tell us what episode it is.
Yeah, we don't remember.
If you tell us what episode it is, you'll get absolutely nothing.
I guarantee it.
But we appreciate it.
We do appreciate you. I mean, just barely.
Yeah, yeah. We'll appreciate you. You will become top fan. You will get the top fan badge.
That's right. That's right.
So you just have to tell us what episode The Running Man came out.
That's right.
What episode did you review The Running Man, and you get the top fan badge?
Yeah, who reviewed it, what was the score, and what episode?
Yeah, any part of that.
All of it.
You could just be like, Tim, and that would be good enough.
I think it was you.
It probably was. I mean, I don't know. I'd believe him if they're like, no. It was episode 184. It was Tim, and he gave it a 7.5. I'd be like, yeah, I buy that.
Most of that sounds plausible.
Right.
Except I think it was you.
It could have been Max, episode 214, and he gave it a 9.0.
Maybe.
That's also plausible.
Right. It does have the Ventura factor in it.
It does. It's got the
We've
got to
get to Abraxas.
Yep. Abraxas.
Abraxas. Oh, man. Never forget Abraxas, everybody.
No. Anytime any word that is near Abraxas, I hear it in your Jesse Ventura impression.
Yes. That are Zardoz.
Yes.
Zardoz.
Which was also from 1974. Yep. I saw that.
Anyways. We're having a good time, Sam. Sam looks confused. Hi, Sam.
Zardoz.
She waved. She waved again.
Zardoz.
I'll keep you posted. Zardoz. Anyways, I got a movie. You got a movie. Mine pretty good. I don't know how you fare. Do you want me to kick it off?
Sure, please. Kick it.
All right, I'm going to kick it.
Kick it.
Anyways, this movie is from 2024. It's a newin.
A newin.
It's a newin.
A newin.
And I did watch it on October 6th, 2024. This movie is called Woofs. Woofs. Which hurts my brain
Woofs.
So much to call it Woofs and not Wolves.
However, Buzz your girlfriends. Woofs.
Woofs. But as you will see, if you watch this movie, the title makes absolute sense, and it makes it hurt my brain far less.
Okay.
So, Woofs from 2024. This is an hour 48. It is a crime thriller, regular-ass varieties. Your director is John Watts.
Ah, we know John Watts.
We do. He directed two important things that we've talked about on this podcast, one being Spider-Man No Way Home.
And more importantly,
Cop Car with Kevin Bacon's sweet mustache.
Yes.
Was that what you were going for?
It was.
Because I wrote that exactly right.
Yep,
here.
I remember that one specifically.
It is a nice mustache.
I keep track of the Tim movies I want to go back and watch. And
oh, good.
Cop Car is on.
Cop Car is definitely in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But enough about that. This cast includes George Clooney, Brad Pitt, and Amy Ryan.
A lot of unknowns, huh?
Yeah, these new guys coming up, they don't even know how to have pluralized woof.
Yeah.
I didn't write anything about additional crew because it's just mostly them.
It's just them. Some unknowns.
It's just some unknown,
it's unknown
guys
cast.
And Amy Ryan. Movie summary. Hi, Amy. Two rival fixers cross paths when they are both called in to help cover up a prominent New York official's misstep.
Uh-oh.
Over one explosive night, they'll have to set aside their petty grievances and their egos to finish the job.
It's a cool setup.
It's a very cool setup. So the basic idea of this movie is you have a senator kind of woman. She goes to a hotel. It's a very expensive hotel, very fancy. She does something she doesn't normally do. She takes a dude back with her. Through sheer happenstance, he falls and dies.
Oh.
So she has a number in her purse. She calls George Clooney. He shows up. She says, I was told if I ever got into any trouble I didn't know how to fix to call you and you would help me. He goes, I will, and it's going to be no problem. So he starts cleaning up the crime scene for her.
Okay.
5 minutes later, there's a knock on the door. It's Brad Pitt. Brad Pitt comes in, and he's the same exact character, essentially.
Huh.
And they're like, who the fuck are you? And George Clooney is pissed. He is miffed. He's like, why is there a different guy here? And he goes, well, the hotel told me to come in and fix this problem.
Oh, interesting.
So the hotel hired him, and you see that there's hidden cameras in these rooms.
That's awesome.
So he's like, look at the camera up there. And he goes, and then Clooney is off the rails pissed.
That's
like,
cool.
He's never run into trouble like this. This is routine for him. So it is them both working against and for each other to get through the night, but they don't respect each other. They hate each other. Clooney's like the old guard. He's got his old ways. There is really good chemistry with them, of course.
Right.
There's funny things like Clooney has a dolly trick that he does to get the body out of the building. And he's like, come on, you thought that shit was cool, right? Like, you're definitely going to steal that from me. He goes, all right, that shit was kind of cool. I will give you that. That was, that didn't hurt your back or nothing. Like, that was smart.
That's right, cool.
There's a lot of silly moments like that. But this is mostly a serious movie outside of quips between the two.
Okay.
It is them going through the night. They are trying to figure out what has happened here because now they're on camera. They're not thrilled. And they're dealing with the repercussions. You find out the guy, he's basically a young boy. He's probably like in his 20s.
Okay.
That she took back, who fell over, hit his head, and died, was on drugs, and he was actually a mule. He was carrying drugs for a Russian cartel. I think it was a Russian cartel.
Okay.
So now there's mobsters involved, and they're like,
right,
we have to either get clear of this or give them their shit back.
Yeah.
And of course, they've worked with all these people to fix things. So yeah, they know all the inside information, which makes this a little interesting.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I can't go in there. They'll shoot me on the spot.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I can't and go in there either.
Right. Raises so the stakes quite a bit.
It raises it in an interesting way. As an added bonus about midway through the movie, the kid wakes up.
Huh.
He is not dead. He is working off one hell of a drug-induced hangover.
Wow.
Yeah, he was knocked out for sure, but he's not dead. So he explains some of the backstory and what we're trying to accomplish, so now it makes a little more sense. And it is, can you survive the night? Can you get out of here with a clear name? And can they work together? Because they don't want to. Because they instinctually know what to do, but they
right,
don't know how to work as a team, so they get in each other's way constantly.
Right. It's not really a team, like team kind of job.
It is not. And Clooney's just furious because, like, and they'll put things together. Like, there's a good scene where one of them needed some medical help and they're getting fixed up by this woman, which is probably Amy Ryan. I don't recall. He's like, wait a minute. There was a time I was here a couple. You were here, weren't you? She was probably helping you. And, like, they're pissed that she knows both of them and never
That's
said
too
anything.
Funny.
There's some good moments.
That's
where he's
awesome.
Like, I wondered why I wasn't allowed back here and I've always been able to go back here and you were probably back here.
That's wild.
And he like won't confirm it, but like you know it to be true.
Yeah.
It's really fun. This movie is a blast. You're either going to love it or hate it, though, because it's very, like, not your typical Clooney Pitt. Some of your additional information. Frank Trigg, former UFC fighter, plays a high-ranking goon. I like Frank Trigg. I like high-ranking goons.
I was going to say, you like your goons.
I got to call them out when I see them.
That's right.
Both Clooney and Pitt took pay cuts, so this movie could get a wider theatrical release.
That's way cool. I love that.
And John Watts had a sequel in mind, but has shelved it as he does not trust Apple, is his quote.
So this, how strange.
This came out on Apple TV.
Do not trust Apple.
There was a lot of bullshit. This movie barely came out.
Oh,
that
sucks.
Yeah. And I think the pay cuts was done so it would, because Clooney and Pitt both have stakes in this movie. Their production companies both worked on this.
Okay.
I think it's a fun movie. I enjoyed it quite a bit. It's definitely like a dark comedy kind of feel to it. I love the end of the movie that I will not spoil. So
what about the title?
This title is Woofs. You get it? Because they're both the
yeah,
wolf and there should only be one, but there's two.
Yep.
Woofs.
Woof.
Woofs. Knife puppy gave me a look. But that's it. IMDb gave this a 6.5. Rotten Tomato Critics, 175 of them gave it a 66%.
Okay.
The audience, 1,000 plus, gave it 50%.
Oof.
The wife and I both watched this and gave it the same score.
Ooh.
Do you want to guess what that score is?
6.0.
7.5.
Wow, much higher than I anticipated.
We enjoyed it. We both really enjoyed the ending. The ending was great.
Oh, so, that's way cool.
It's good that you took a journey and you're just like, I'm okay with this ending. Thank God.
I love it.
So that's what I got. What you got? I got Woofs.
All right, I'm going to talk about this movie before the summary.
Okay.
At the pace of the movie.
Oh, no.
This film
is
titled a violent nature.
Oh.
That is the pace of the movie.
That's not great.
No. This came out in 2024. I watched it on October 15th of 2024. It's 1 hour and 34 minutes. It's a horror drama directed by Chris Nash.
Okay.
Starring Rye Barrett, Andrea Pavlovic, and Cameron Love.
Those are all fake names.
Very well could be. The summary for this movie is when a group of teens take a locket from a collapsed fire tower in the woods, they unwittingly resurrect the rotting corpse of Johnny, a vengeful spirit spurred on by a horrific 60-year-old crime. The undead killer soon embarks on a bloody rampage to retrieve the stolen locket, methodically, oh so methodically, slaughtering anyone who gets in his way.
Johnny's seeking vengeance?
That's right. So this movie is very much a homage of the Jason Voorhees's, the Freddy Kruegers, the characters who are all back seeking some type of revenge, characters who are supernaturally motivated by some sort of curse or terrible last revenge that they need to inflict, whatever the case may be. It's right. All a little bit different. So this movie is unique, and the reason it drew me in is because it was getting a lot of buzz, because basically the entire movie, you follow around Johnny.
Okay, so Johnny's just always in the shot.
Johnny's just there from start to finish. You see the necklace gets stolen by some unknown people. Johnny comes back. He doesn't talk or anything, but he knows he has to go get this necklace, this locket.
Well, at least now it makes a little more sense that it moves at a snail's pace.
Yes, and I mean, like, literally, you watch Johnny walk in the woods, probably, like, walk to where he's going for probably, like, 34 minutes of this hour and 34 minutes.
Oh, my God.
It is so unbelievably slow.
Jeez.
So, this gave me a lot of time to think. So I'm watching this movie, and I'm going, what and why the hell would we want to walk by? I mean, it's just a camera behind his head, and we're walking.
Oh, my goodness.
And we're walking at a walking pace through the woods. So I'm just thinking during this 34 minutes of reflection time, I don't understand why you would want to do this. So I start to unpack it in my head. Why would you want to do this? Like, why would you want to put this much of a slow pace into the film?
Yeah.
What I think it is it's trying to boil down the idea of a slasher movie. Like, I think it's trying to deconstruct some of the things that we love about a slasher movie. Like, I think the idea would be like, imagine I'm Chris Nash and we're hanging out, we're having a few drinks, maybe we're on a podcast.
Maybe.
And I go, hey man, you know, we're drinking, here's my hot take.
Yeah, we're drinking, yeah.
If slasher movies, from the perspective of the killer, they would be so boring.
Bro, that sounds like the movie is awesome, bro.
Right. It's just you're walking the whole time. I don't think that was entirely the point, right? I think it was that he wanted to call out a lot of the slasher movies. And I don't think this was like making fun of them or anything. I don't think he's trying to talk down to the audience. But I think the point is that when you boil out a lot of the movie, you're left with one character trying to get revenge on a bunch of pointless characters.
Sure.
And this movie really does like shine a lantern on that, where it's like, you don't give a fuck about these characters. They're all annoying and pointless. Right. But to him, they would be annoying and pointless because they're just literally obstacles that are in the way.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's interesting in a full way. The problem is, I don't know how much of that was thought or how much of that was me putting my thought into the film.
34 minutes is a long time.
Yeah, like, I might be exaggerating slightly, but I'm shitting you not. Literally I looked at some of the reviews after I was done with the movie just to see what other people had thought. Like, is this as provoking or interesting as maybe am I putting too much into this? And I was looking at a lot of the reviews were just like, I sure hope that you like nature shot, because there is a lot of time spent looking at the woods in this particular movie. And it's just like, this is a movie, I can't tell if it's supposed to be a horror film or a film about trees. Like, I mean, it's like so many reviews are just that, like just really like ripping it apart, like just spending so much time, like what you would call in the industry shoe leather, right?
Sure.
Like, I think if you looked at the screenplay for this movie, it feels like it would be like 70 pages. Like, I feel like there's just so much on this runtime that's unneeded. Like, there's just so much bloat.
It's so weird.
So it's like, why would the filmmaker intentionally put this in there?
Does it need so much time to qualify as a movie for like a film festival or something?
I don't think so. I think we've reviewed movies that are pretty short. Like, I know I definitely have put some in there that were like 68 minutes long. And we're like, we'll go back to those movies from the 50s and the 60s that are super short.
Right.
And are still movies. Like, and I have no preconceived notion. So it's like, it's got to be some kind of a call out to me. And that's what I arrived at, was the concept of these slasher movies that are so beloved. If you think about it logically, there's really not a whole lot going on. Mm-hmm. And if you look behind the curtain, a lot of them don't have any teeth. Like, the characters are all extremely flat. And I mean, if you think about it, like, I was thinking about, I had time to think about, oh, I don't know, every single slasher movie I ever watched.
Right.
And I was just like, you know, it kind of has a good point. Like, very few I could call out in my head had interesting characters in them. Like, one that jumped to mind was Friday the 13th Part 7, mm-hmm. where the main character has like psychic powers.
Right.
And she has like a tortured past. And like, that's like, all right, there's kind of a character in this movie. But a lot of the, like.
But that's not a typical character.
No, like,
for
think
the genre.
Of, yeah, every final girl almost ever. It's just like, not super interesting. Nancy from Nightmare on Elm Street, interesting because we saw her through three movies.
Sure, she had time to grow.
Right. Overall, you really don't, like, who's the main character in Friday the 13th? I'm sure somebody knows to recall the fact, but like, what can you tell me about her? Not much. What about from part two? Not much. Like, you just kind of go down the line. Like, these characters are all pretty darn forgettable.
Kevin Bacon didn't have a good mustache in that one.
No. And what you remember is the kills. What you remember is the violence. And this movie does bring that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's definitely some pretty ridiculous, like, it's trying really hard to not be over the top, but be as violent as possible. So it does a good job in that. And the kills bring it. And like, the character's unrelenting. And it's kind of cool because at a point they do run into a park ranger who's just like, knows, just like, oh shit, do you have that locket? Oh fuck, we are fucked. We got to get back to that fire tower and put that locket back or we're all dead.
Nice.
So it's like cool that it's like, oh, the local people know the legend. It's like that happens, right? Like, mm-hmm. Friday the 13th, we see that the guy on the bicycle. You and your friends are doomed. Doomed.
Doomed.
Like, that's
squeaky.
Yeah. We see that kind of stuff all the time. There has to be, like, Cabin in the Woods did a great job of calling a lot of those like little cliches out, calling them the harbinger. Like, you have to have somebody who tells you to get the hell out of there.
I love it.
Yeah, like, this all happens in this movie, so I just have to think that it's somebody who's just, like, seen a lot of these and gone, you know what? I can make a slasher movie that just shines a light on how shabby a lot of these slasher movies truly are. Again, that could be me just projecting into the movie, but that's what I had time to think about. Kind of like when I reviewed Skinamarink, where it's like, this is all the time I had to think about. Here's what I thought about. So that's what you get for this one, because that's what
I was thinking about Skinamarink, because it sounds like a similar scenario.
Yeah, where it's just like, this is gave me a lot of time to think, so you're going to get my unfiltered thoughts about what I was thinking about during this hour and 34 minutes.
You fools.
And you'll kind of see this in the scores. It's all over the place.
Okay.
IMDb is at a 5.6 out of 10.
Sounds safe.
Yeah, like, not horrendous, not great.
Right.
The Rotten Tomatoes critics, 179 critics reviewed this movie. 78%.
Really?
Yeah. The audience, 250 plus.
Plus?
45%.
Sure.
All over the place. So I gave it a 6 out of 10 because I didn't not enjoy it. It was just very slow. And again, the thing that really tied it together was me thinking that there is a reason for this and trying my best to put together some semblance of why it moved at this pace. And again, I could be off the mark here.
You feel like the back half makes up for a lot of the front half?
No, because it's slow the whole way through.
Oh, man.
The coolest kill happens at about the hour mark, I think.
Okay.
So it's, yeah, no, it doesn't do like the Last House on the Left thing where it gets crazy in the last few minutes.
Sure.
No, it doesn't do that.
Okay.
The last few minutes is the girl who survives giving like a 4.5 minute monologue.
Oh no.
Yeah. Or sorry, the woman who picks her up in the car gives her a 4.5 minute monologue. Ugh. Yeah. It's wild.
Mm.
Sam watched this with me. She gave it a 2.
Yes, Sim.
So that'll tell you kind of where the variance is on this one. Weird movie. I mean, if you're a fan of these kinds of slasher movies, I think it's worth watching just to see what you think, what you come away with. Because I don't think Tim would come away with a score similar to mine. Obviously, I didn't come away with a score similar to Sam's. I think it's going to be unique unto what your taste is and what you think the film is trying to do.
Interesting. Yeah, well, maybe when we put some distance from it, I'll rewind it.
Bless your heart. I hope you like trees.
You know, I love a good tree.
And you'll love it even more.
Ooh.